All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Taxi Squad podcast. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024, and we are back with your Week 25 preview. So as Craig always says, let's start up those fares and get right into it. Welcome to the pod, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name is Jay, and I'm here tonight with Alan, keeping the van cab warm in Craig and Maddie K's absence. Alan, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I am just throwing every hex and curse I can think of at the person I don't want to face on the other side of the semis right now in one of my leagues. I want my easier opponent.
As you can clearly see, Alan is clearly talking about any team with an Edmonton stack or any team with a Colorado stack.
Colorado Avs.
Yeah. Edmonton and Colorado. You want to avoid those bad boys come week 25. And speaking of, I guess, bad boys to avoid, there are Avs even in our injury report. So as we start in the infirmary, as we always do, the first man on the list, Valeri Nichushkin. He's been ruled out for tonight. Now, for KC Mittelstadt owners, that's awesome. He's been skating and slotting in for the power play one. He's getting all that juicy McKinnon, Makar, and Rantanen access. So definitely want to pick up your Mittelstadts. Make sure you also jam Nichushkin into your IR+.
And Lekkonen still getting dissed over Druin for power play one. God, I don't know what they're doing over there, but I'm sure Bednar has it all figured out. And then next, Morgan Riley remains day-to-day. I thought Liljegren was the obvious pickup, but he is also out with a upper body injury. So it looks like Connor Timmins was the quarterback for power play one tonight. That game's already over, so you can't pick him up for tonight. I would say if both those guys remain out, that Connor Timmins is kind of the next man up if you're scrounging for those power play quarterbacks.
Maybe this is precautionary. I think the Leafs right now... honestly, kind of like jogging memory for a bit.
I'm sure they're sitting comfortably in like second in the Atlantic.
Right, right. Yeah, okay, so they're third after Boston and Florida, right? So they're probably going to face, well, it doesn't matter who they end up facing, right? Like they're going to face either Florida or the Bruins, barring a catastrophic collapse in the last 10 games.
Well, if they face the Bruins, we know what happens there. No surprises.
I mean, honestly, if they face Florida, I'm pretty sure they'll get smacked too. But either way, it's probably, if I'm guessing, a precautionary measure. If I had to guess, I know for a fact if Riley and Liljegren remain out, like the Leafs aren't doing anything. They probably won't do anything even with them. But Connor Timmins, I mean, is this literally just a next man up situation? Or
I think so. I had about? Never really. I think I've heard this guy's name a couple times, but I don't know if he's like a Sandin where he actually had like potential in that position.
Yeah, I'm thinking only two things with Connor Timmins. One is he drove a long way if he's from Northern Ontario. Shout out to Timmins, Ontario. And then the other one is, I don't know if, you know, Tim Hortons just, you know, had a little guy with Tim Bitsaki that threw him in. Either way, monitor the situation, and if the Leafs, I think the next time the Leafs play is on Saturday against Buffalo, maybe just check and see. The Leafs do have a pretty serviceable schedule for the upcoming week 25, so yeah, I don't know if I would break the bank to make sure you snag Connor Timmins, especially if we don't know that day-to-day situation with Riley and Liljegren. Other teams that also, I guess, in this final last stretch, maybe they are just holding players out. If not, it's just injury situation with playing 70-odd games. Hockey, Torrey Krug is a game-time decision. Now, I didn't see if that game started yet, but...
Oh, it did, actually. Is he in? He is in, and he has an assist.
He is in, okay. Okay, so yeah, so clearly it wasn't enough to actually knock him out of commission. So Torrey Krug was a game-time decision, but clearly he was able to play. I think Colton Parayko is probably the surprise there. Parayko definitely taking way more power play share than he normally did in previous seasons, as well as more D1 pairing time, right? He was averaging previously around and hovering around the 20-minute mark, maybe even dropping it at 19, 18 and a half minutes. But yeah, this season has been, what, 20, 23, 24 minutes sky high sailing onwards. Kind of the amount of minutes Justin Falk used to get. So the Blues are an interesting one with, obviously, Colton Parayko being extremely valuable this season, and Scott Perunovich has been seeing some reps on the top power play. So, yeah, the Blues do have a good, not full week 25 schedule, but a good late week 25 schedule. So definitely monitor and see who's available, and definitely monitor to see who's getting those top minute reps.
Yeah, and then Joel Eriksson-Ek returned tonight, and so far he has one goal. Didn't look like he got in on that second goal the Wild just scored. So hopefully activated him, because it looks like he's right back line one, power play one for the Wild there.
At this point in the season, like, you can't, he's too good to drop. And at the same time, the schedule just doesn't favor Minnesota, especially this week, right? So glad that when you fired him up, glad when you started him, he delivered for you. You're really hoping that your team carries through, because I believe Minnesota does have a really good... Yes, they do. They have four games. Jeez, wow, they play against Ottawa and Chicago, and they also play against Colorado and Winnipeg. So two winnable games, two, I think, if we're honest, less winnable games, but still the opportunity, maybe not against Winnipeg, but everyone else has a high opportunity for a blow-up game of high 7-6 scoring. You want in on those games. Ekblad, Aaron Ekblad, also returns tonight, and he has been immediately moved back to the top pairing with Gustav Forsling, which is kind of surprising. I thought the top pairing was always Brandon Montour, but is Montour a D2 pairing getting power play 1 minute? Is that what the setup is?
At least when I looked at left wing lock today, that was the reported pairings, was Forsling Montour on the first pairing.
Yeah, from the looks of it, it kind of does seem like Montour gets way more sheltered minutes than everybody else. Yeah, so, Aaron Ekblad and Gustav Forsling also play the majority of the shorthanded minutes as well. Okay, this makes more sense. Right. I guess you have some devoted offensive and devoted defensive defensemen. But yeah, at least Ekblad also gets power play 2, a nice little bonus, a nice little plus, although worth noting, it seems like Ottawa sometimes doesn't run that power play 2 at all. Like tonight, they got power play minutes, they just didn't run any of them to power play 2 at all.
And then interesting story, I'm not big on prospects or anything, but it just seemed to be a significant headline in the hockey world. Ivan Fedotov, a highly touted goalie prospect for Philly. He was a 7th round pick in 2015. He appears to be on the move to the States. He was playing for Moscow CSKA in the KHL, the Russian League. So he could potentially play for them this season. I don't know. It sounds like there's a hang up with his ELC. I don't know if he'll play this season at all. It remains to be seen. Could be someone that is significant next year, as it seems like Carter Hart's probably done for good. And Sam Ersson's a good backstop, but this guy could actually have some pedigree behind him. Looks like this season in the K, he was 21-22-1 with a .914 save percentage and a .237 goals against. Looks like they were eliminated in the first round. He had a 1-4 record there, with a .916 save percentage and .257 goals against. So not bad. And I mean, Philly, you know, losing Hart, someone with some pedigree, kind of stinks, but maybe this will be someone who can replace him. They can trade. The trade is 1-for-1. Carter Hart for Ivan Fedotov.
And I mean, wasn't that rumor recently about, I guess, Carter Hart going the other way too? Like, what was
that's
that?
Yeah, that was my joke, was that, he trade, it's a KHL NHL trade.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I think that was wholeheartedly denied. I guess in some ways I'm playing more into the rumors by respreading and resharing. But did they say that Ivan Fedotov was at the level? I'm reading it somewhere. They said at the level of a Ilya Sorokin. Is that what I'm reading?
Ooh.
That seems crazy. But if that's
well,
the case,
whole division stacked with Russian goalies. So what's one more?
What's one more, indeed? Okay, but I guess, yeah, that covers our injury report as well as our storylines and trends for this week 25. Alan, you want to jump into some schedule analysis?
Yeah, first off noting, this is a much better schedule to stream from, but note that Monday and Sunday are not considered off nights as they have 16 and 18 teams playing respectively. So this schedule's a little wonky, but the best schedules, you have Edmonton and New York, Rangers with four games and two off nights. And actually, if you look at the Rangers, their schedule is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So on any other week, they'd have the best schedule to stream from. And then you have Colorado, LA, New Jersey, Tampa, and Washington with four games, one off night. Columbus, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, New York Islanders, Ottawa, San Jose, and St. Louis all have just four games. And then an honorable mention to Arizona and Seattle, who have three games with two off nights. The worst schedules is Vegas with two games and only one off night. Streamers, I'd say this is a good week as any to pick Alexi Lafreniere back up. Left wing, right wing, he's 41% owned, so probably pick up closer to the weekend. Line two, power play two, his 8 points in his last seven games. And then honorable mention, if Laf is gone, Jack Roslovic out there, he's only 6%. He's line one with Zibanejad, but his time on ice is iffy. And he does get power play two time, but Alexi is the first priority pickup. And then Adam Henrik, interestingly, center left wing, 25%. He's playing on line two with Dreisaitl right now. And power play two, worth a look if that deployment holds. Total homer pick, but I think the numbers speak for themselves. Anthony Duclair on Tampa, left wing 38%. Right now he's playing line one with Point and Kucherov, and he was just on a 7-game, 9-point streak since being traded to the Lightning. And then goalies, Justus Enunen from Colorado, 15%. Colorado plays Columbus on Monday, and then they have a back-to-back Thursday and Friday, so good chance he might see two starts. And remember, he just signed that contract extension, so they are committed to him as a backup. Anthony Stolarz, 28% on Florida. He likely sees Montreal on Tuesday. Could he even get another start on Thursday versus Ottawa? And then again, both Jersey goalies. Their schedule is two back-to-backs, so either one of those guys, I think they're both still less than 50% owned, and they have some winnable games in there. Big boy bangers. Martin Fehervari in Washington, he's defenseman, 5% owned, 18 hits in his last three. We'll get you some blocks in there too. And then Tanner Janot from Tampa, left wing, right wing, 12%. He's averaging about 4 to 5 hits a game since returning from injury. So it sounds like he's doing Tanner Janot things and back to normal. He does have some slight point upside here and there, but definitely someone you grab for the hits. And then Bang Daddy Luke Shen, Nashville defense. He's only 12% owned right now. Warming up the bangs. He currently has 22 hits in his last four games. So he's coming for Lazan. I don't think he'll pass him, but he's coming. And then with that, I will hand it to Jay.
My goodness, that's 5.5 per game in the last four. That is,
yeah, he's warming up. Nuts. We're seeing Luke Shen's not final form, but he's getting there.
Yeah, and I guess the other one too. I don't even think it's a homer pick. If anything, Anthony Duclair is probably just so damn thankful. For any professional hockey player, the San Jose Sharks, I'm so sorry, but you've got to feel trapped there somewhat, right? Like on a team, not competing, not anyway. For Duclair to then, you know, be given immediate free...
Rags to riches.
Yeah, it's like literal rags to riches set up on the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know Tampa's not, you know, like the team that was, what, like challenging for the President's Trophy a couple seasons back. But that team, if they ended up in the conference finals, if they ended up playing for the Stanley Cup, would you really be that surprised? Like, for Duclair to get to that situation from starting the year on the freaking San Jose Sharks, my goodness, this could truly be like the Sean Monahan, like the Sean Monahanessons set up all over again for a separate player. And his play is seemingly really, really taken off for it. Hats off to Duclair. Jumping back into that, some of that week 25 strategy. So we described it as what? So teams to target hold. The one team that's going to help you do that this coming week is Vancouver, right? So Vancouver plays on the week 24 Sunday. Great. Not many teams do. two teams play on week 24 Sunday, right? So if you can hold Vancouver over on the Sunday and then hold them in for week 25 as well, they play back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday in week 25, right? So let's run through some of the players. Obviously, we covered them in the previous weekend. Actually, same guys plus a new dude, which is Dakota Joshua. Dakota Joshua is, what, 19% center left wing eligible. It plays on the second line, but he's got 195 hits in 53 games so far. He's not played a ton in the last little month or so because he's been out. But yeah, dude, how many players can give you almost 200 hits in 50-odd games? Snag him onto your lineup, especially with the coming week 24 weekend schedule and week 25 early schedule. Connor Garland, Nikita Zadorov, Tyler Myers, Nils Höglander. These are all guys that are worthwhile. They either get power play two time or they just hit a lot and are worthwhile to add, especially for an early week 25 stream. But these guys I would advise to target for your week 24 Sunday and just hold them on instead of adding them early next week.
Yeah, and especially Garland and Höglander, if they're both still line one with Petey, yeah, those are good, great streams.
100%. Now, in order for you to get, or I guess hold on to certain players or vacate spots to drop, think about a team to target drop. So the main team to target drop is the only team playing two games this week 25. Now, I will caveat this by saying they play Tuesday and they play on Friday. So they only play two games, but they do play on the Friday off night and against Arizona. So a very winnable game. They'll be incentivized to score a ton of goals, but you can probably just drop Vegas Golden Knight players. And if they're available by Friday, just pick them back up if you need. But honestly, you probably just need the games played vacated by those slots and spots there. So I'm going to rattle off some names of players. I think even the other player that I didn't list off to target drop but also would be eligible would probably be William Karlsson. He's kind of right on that cusp, and he's right in the very abundant center position where you should comfortably be confident and able to drop him. After Karlsson, you still have Ivan Barbashev, Braden McNabb, Chandler Stephenson. All these guys get a mix of power play one time, or, well, Braden McNabb just gets a bunch of peripherals, but you probably can't start them on Tuesday because you probably have enough players playing already. In addition, obviously, at the very bottom, like Alec Martinez, Nicholas Waugh, like those guys should immediately be gone. I think we also mentioned the goalie, right? Yuri Patera. Make sure you don't forget to scroll all the way down to your goalies and drop your Vegas goalies as well. Okay, so now who are you going to use those precious beloved ads on? Let's jump into the Monday, Tuesday back-to-backs, right? So there's three teams you're going to target right off the bat. Florida, New York Islanders, Pittsburgh, okay? So from those teams, you want a couple of guys that are hovering around the 50% first. So right off the top from Florida, you have what? Aaron Ekblad. He's back tonight. Make sure you're part of that upswing when people tick up and act. Well, either they're going to pick him up or they're going to activate him. Either way, he gets what? He's on the D1 pairing. He plays on the power play too. Vladimir Tarasenko, right? Trade deadline acquisition, left wing, right wing eligible still. Same setup as Ekblad, right? First pairing, or first line one, power play two. Yeah, any guys you can fit onto your lineup afterwards, right? So you have your Sam Bennett's, you have your OELs, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's. Evan Rodriguez is a great option if you just need to slot somebody somewhere, because he's obviously a fantasy unicorn with the center, left wing, right wing eligibility. Anthony Stolarz, I think, is the guy you also can't forget with the back-to-back, because Florida's going to try to win all those games. But Stolarz is like a stupidly high save percentage as well, and like goals against average, whatnot. Like it's a rocketing team forward to win out for the rest of the 9 to 10 games before the playoffs begin. Now, I know the next team isn't really doing too hot at the moment, and I mean, it's just a matter of check your league, right? So these players I'm listing aren't necessarily the best or only available players on the Islanders, but they're probably the most likely available players. So just remember that the Islanders have an early week 25 schedule that is pretty good. right? So you want your Andrews Lees, your Kyle Palmieri's, Ryan Pulock, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Semyon Varlamov as well for the back-to-back. Just some of these players are pretty lowly owned, but they're all a mix of power play 2 or power play 1 or any one of those. They're all under 20-25% ownership. Just go check. Week 24 was a terrible week to own New York Islanders. Check for those three players I mentioned before, right? Like last session, I think we mentioned our Matthew Barzal's, Bo Horvat's, or Brock Nelson's, right? Like, check to see if maybe managers had dropped them in before to try to maximize some game output. Pittsburgh, right? The last team with the Monday-Tuesday back-to-back. You have Brian Rust. He's at 46% right wing, line 1, power play 1. Michael Bunting at 28% still gets line 2, power play 1 as well. Ricard Raquel, 28% line 2, power play 2. And I think this is a fascinating one at the end, right? Well, we're going to even throw in Riley Smith here, right? 20%. He's only on line 3 right now, but all of those players, I don't think any of them are solidified onto the Crosby line, which is really the only line that really, really, I guess, clicks and matters unless Malkin can come together in the very last 10 games of the season and string together a bunch of wins for Pittsburgh. Right now, it seems like Brian Rust has won, and it also seems like Michael Bunting's getting some access to Crosby, but, I mean, Raquel was getting a string of games on Crosby's line before, Riley Smith was as well. So just if you have availability, grab any of those guys, and on a night, hope Lady Luck smiles fortunately on you. Lars Eller, right? We mentioned before, if we couldn't believe it for the longest time, he was line 3, power play 1.
Yeah, thank goodness.
They bumped him down to power play 2, and well, for better or for worse, it clearly wasn't significantly altering the power play 1 aspects anyway, but that's Pittsburgh, right? Good teams to own in general for Monday, Wednesday, Friday off nights. Edmonton, the New York Rangers, Seattle. Edmonton is probably, like, there's one player that you immediately need to smash add, and that's Adam Henrique. 25% center left wing, line 2, power play 2. What a trade acquisition from Anaheim. He's, frick, we're describing all these players that have Sean Monahan's, Monahanissance potential. You probably thought you'd be sipping samosas and mimosas by, I guess, mid-April, and now instead he might be sipping champagne straight from the cup if, you know, like, if things go right for the Oilers.
1 point in his last 3, but I mean, really, that you're picking him up for the deployment.
It's not really even just the schedule, right? Like, this is incredible. Like, if you have deep, late fantasy playoffs as well, like, the Oilers just play so many remaining games. You see every single time you look at the standings, I think the Oilers always have games in hand, and they still do. They have the least number of games played in the entire league still. So if you are seeking and desiring, I guess, any team that's going to push you through, it's got to be the Oilers. All those other guys, even Matthias Ekholm, is owned up. And Matthias Ekholm broke not only 50% ownership, but 60%
ownership. I was looking at that, and now he's got, it looks like 8 points in 7 games, including tonight. I'm glad I jumped on it, especially for next week.
Right, and I am so sorry, like, listeners, that we said it, but I don't think we emphasized the holdability of Matthias Ekholm. But yes, although we missed out on that train, we are 100% going to jump back onto the train of, well, please make sure you use any of your ads and all of those ones. Reserve one for Adam Henrique for this coming week. You want access to Edmonton. After celebrating Adam Henrique to such a degree at 25% ownership, also remember the other guys, right? Warren Fogle, Corey Perry. I know both of those guys on the wing have basically benefited largely from being on power play 2, and it kind of looks like Corey Perry's gotten the power play too recently, so maybe target Corey Perry first, but Warren Fogle, could easily see him slot back in. He was hot at points in the season, and never forget as well, I know they're all on off nights, but Calvin Pickard, right, 17%, maybe they want to rest up Stuart Skinner going into the playoffs. Like, I'm looking right now, and Edmonton is what? Like, I guess they do need to kind of win. I don't think they are reasonably expected to chase and catch the Vancouver Canucks, but I mean, the Oilers could certainly make it close. And I mean, they kind of could be locked into facing either the LA Kings or the Golden Knights, right? If those three teams kind of lock together. Yeah, I'm not really sure even of those two, which I'd prefer to face. Probably
I'd rather face the Kings.
Yeah, probably face the Kings. Yeah, frick. I guess the Knights just won, right? So obviously, I guess we'd prefer old Monarchs as opposed to recent crowned ones. So anywho, with Edmonton, like feasibly anyway, you'd imagine and expect they need Stuart Skinner to be healthy and not to have him, you know, strain a hamstring right before the playoffs actually begin, right? So Calvin Pickard, maybe you could see an uptick in starts, possibly. Recently as well against the Leafs, what they did was, I don't even think Stuart Skinner played terribly in that game against the Leafs, but I think they just like pulled him early and decided they just wanted to rest him for, you know, an extra game just to give, you know, I guess like a bit of rest for him. And Pickard still played the rest of the game against the Leafs as well as his planned start afterwards, right? So definitely are the Oilers against resting, I guess, Skinner in the upcoming lead up for playoffs? I don't think so. The Rangers also have a very good traditional Monday, Wednesday, Friday off night setup. And just a couple of names to rattle off. Keandre Miller gets power play 2 time on the second pairing. Alexis Lafreniere, line 2, power play 2. Jack Roslovic, as Alan mentioned before, center right wing, gets power play 2 time. And I look down too, and it's like Kaapo Kakko, he's 2%. He also gets power play 2 time, probably worth a stream at this point as well. Remember to check if Jonathan Quick is starting. He's at 38% ownership. He's fluctuated up and down, but you definitely want access to him. He is bringing it back. It is 2014 Jonathan Quick. It is incredible. You want that sort of goalie tandem in your crease. And Seattle is the last team with the Monday, Wednesday, Friday off nights. You have Adam Larson, Jordan Eberle, Oliver Bjorkstrand, Matty Beniers. You notice I'm basically mentioning their entire top line because it basically is, aside from Vince Dunn and aside from Jared McCann, like this whole team, this whole power play one, not that they've done a ton with the extra man advantage, but they're all available, all under around 40% owned. Heck, even under 30% owned, a lot of these guys too. Even in net, they have a great situation, right? Joey Decord, Philip Grubauer, looks like they're just kind of splitting starts. Grubauer had a horrendous night last Sunday where, I guess it was like 4 goals off like 6 shots from like the Habs. And Joey went in, right, straight afterwards. So I think they're just going to split starts for the rest of the season. And once they get eliminated, they'll just continue onwards. And
if you want power play one defenseman, Justin Schultz. I think I know Riker Schultz, Evans came right back tonight, but I don't. It doesn't look like they're slotting him back into power play one immediately. So yeah, if you can stomach Seattle's power play, Justin Schultz there.
Alan's right too. I'm so sorry. I mentioned Vince Dunn. Vince Dunn, I think, is still an IR plus. So yeah, he just or not IR.
Yeah,
plus,
I think the latest was he's skating in non-contact jersey. But yeah, Justin Schultz 1% owned. Like, come on, power play defenseman when you need it most.
Yeah, grab Justin Schultz, 1%, no-brainer. Definitely with a great week 25 schedule. Justin Schultz probably should be the headliner. That's with me mentioning all the power play one quarterbacks. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't lead off with that Seattle power play one quarterback option. Then the other strategy, obviously, again, with Vancouver having the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. New Jersey also has the Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. You have Dawson Mercer, Eric Halla, Simon Nemec. And in the crease, Jake Allen, right? Like 35% owned, getting a ton of starts. I think he started, what, like 5 of the last 6 games? Yeah, like those bulk starts, definitely worthwhile, especially at 35% owned. And look through Vancouver again, right? All those guys we mentioned before, they get the Tuesday, Wednesdays, and they're back to back. So the last one we'll cover for the earlier part of week 25's preview is Arizona, right? Arizona has the Wednesday, Friday off night. They have a ton of available players too. Their power play one quarterback, Sean Durzi, he's pretty highly owned, 57% owned, but just check, right? Like, it's possible at this point in the league, maybe you can grab an early stream. They didn't have the best week 24 schedule. Yeah, it was all on heavy nights, right? So it's entirely possible that you couldn't fit a guy in, and maybe a Jersey who kind of produces, well, Jersey doesn't produce a lot peripherally, so you're really hoping that he ends up being part of the point production in the games he's playing for you, but on all off nights in the coming week, just check to see if he's available. And then you have the dime a dozens, right? Like Nick Schmaltz, Lawson Krause, Logan Cooley, Nick Bjugstad. Oh, man, Bjugstad has absolutely, he was crushing the Columbus Blue Jackets a couple nights ago. Dylan Gunther had a game winner against Seattle last week. And then again, like all those guys we just mentioned are under 30%. Some are under 15% owned. All of them on the power play one, or at least the power play two in the desert.
And
right?
A sneaky, sneaky pickup recently called up to the team, Josh Doan. I think I forget how he's related to Shane Doan, like one of the front office guys. Right. Two goals in his first game. He has an assist tonight here halfway through the first period. Could be a sneaky guy that pays off for you. He's left wing, right wing, only 1% owned right now.
And he's definitely available. You know, like there's no way this guy, like who in the world, that'd be insane if somehow Josh Doan was like immediately picked up by the vast majority of individuals. Like you just don't.
If this is week one, he'd be like 60% owned after that first game. But this far in the season, I don't think as many people are chasing points.
No, definitely not. And I mean, honestly, like too, these people probably don't even know that Josh Doan is still playing or even like, you know, starting. When I watched the game, I didn't know that Josh Doan was even starting or like was making his inaugural debut until he stayed, right? And he's probably going to end up playing the rest of the season because what the hell is Arizona right. playing for aside from giving their young prospects some minutes on the ice? And in addition, Arizona also has a pretty juicy crease setup situation, right? Connor Ingram, super hot start to the season. Karel Vejmelka, equally terrible start to the season, but now they've kind of both leveled off, right? And Connor Ingram, especially after getting hurt for a bit, now he's dropped ownership to 48%. Karel Vejmelka is still like around 25% owned. But either way, these guys are both available for certain and on their night pretty damn good. So probably worth a spot start as is, depending on their schedule as well, right? Like I don't even think, actually, they're playing some pretty tough opponents this next week 25. They're playing Vancouver and then Vegas. But then they end off the final game of if your season ends in week 25. Like they're playing their final game of the season against the San Jose Sharks, right? Like another dumpster fire team. Do you really think you wouldn't hold your breath and hope to God your Connor Ingrams, your Karel Vejmelkas could shut out the Sharks? I think that's pretty damn possible if you asked me. And maybe that is the difference, right? Like playing the man, so to speak, as opposed to playing the odds. Play the man for the very last game of the season and, you know, hope Lady Luck smiles on your side. But that's it for me. Like I said, on the Wednesday, Friday off nights, these are just some teams to target and some teams to drop and some teams to even target hold and players to, I guess, hopefully help you and boost you in on this far juicier streaming setup for week 25 compared to week 24. I'm sorry for the dryness of week 24, but week 25 is way better. Hopefully some of those guys helped you out and I will throw back to you.
Well,
Alan,
that's going
to
wrap it for tonight's show. We're going to park the van cab for the night. As always, we ask all you sexy semi-finalists to like, subscribe, and leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. You can also follow us on Twitter and YouTube. All of that is in the show notes. If you haven't already, come join us on the 5-Hole Discord. Over 2,500 people either celebrating their victories, looking for last-minute advice, or lamenting their defeats. Good luck and good hockey this week, and thank you for listening.
We'll pick you up later.